Chapter 2. The Waldorf Understanding of the Purpose of Education. What is the purpose of education? Why should children go to school, and what should be the outcome? As the previous chapter suggests, answers to these time-honored questions have shifted over decades and vary with the roles and responsibilities of the responder. In general, philosophers assert the importance of education for the development of those specifically human abilities needed for the creating and expanding of healthy, civilized societies. Politicians and public servants stress the role of education in ensuring that we have responsible, active, informed citizens. Students themselves, everywhere and at all times, have viewed going to school mainly as a necessary step toward being able to earn a living as an adult, as well as for experiencing the joy of learning, the expanding of their intellectual and emotional horizons, and the developing of social relationships with their peers. In Waldorf education, no less than in public education, a vision of the purpose of schooling shapes how teachers teach and how they assess progress. In order to understand Waldorf education, we must fully take into account the broad goal or the outcome of education that informs not only methods of teaching, but curriculum, standards, and the relationship of schooling to the rest of social activity. Everything Waldorf teachers do in and out of the classroom, from shaking hands individually with children every morning as they enter the room to the writing of lengthy end-of-year narrative reports, reflects their awareness of this goal. For this overview of the Waldorf philosophy of education, and for our description of the fundamentals of Waldorf elementary level teaching, derived from that philosophy, we draw on our decades-long relationship with Waldorf education. Extensive information about every aspect of Waldorf education is available in books and monographs, both print and online, published by Waldorf Publications and the Research Institute for Waldorf Education, RIWE, and on the websites of OSNA, many Waldorf schools, and the online Waldorf Library. In addition to the standard Waldorf foundational works by Rudolf Steiner found in their catalogs, both Steiner Books and Waldorf Publications regularly publish new books, monographs, and teaching guides by Waldorf educators on teaching, parenting, family and child health, and child development. First, however, we briefly recall how the questions above are being answered in the realm of public policy, in order to highlight the ways in which the Waldorf position is different. The goal of education and public policy today, simply stated, is to prepare students for success in the global economy. The 2010 government report outlining federal education policy is representative of a bipartisan tendency to put educational goals in terms of economic success. The goal of education is to ensure that students have success in college and career. The desired outcome is that they contribute as citizens in our democracy and thrive in a global economy. U.S. Department of Education, 2010A, pages 2 and 3. This emphasis on economic success extends, unsurprisingly, to the corporate sector, as, for example, on the website of Partnership for 21st Century Skills, whose mission is to help students in our education system keep up in a global economy. We see this emphasis also in the public policy debate on teacher accountability. The Value Added Research Center, VARC, which promotes controversial models for measuring teacher performance, recently released a study evaluating teachers in terms of their impact on students' later lifetime earnings, Lowry, 2004. Lowry, 2012. Some of the larger foundations that fund education likewise reflect this tendency. For example, the Hewlett Foundation says that education needs to prepare all of our children to succeed in a fiercely competitive global economy. According to the Gates Foundation, the aim of early learning is to develop skills needed for success in school and life, leading to a more competitive workforce for the future. The goal of Waldorf education, lifelong learning, and the free human being. Waldorf educators put the goal of education in broader terms. Their formulations are free of reference to economic, political, or commercial motives. They speak of education for life, the inspiring of lifelong learning and education of the whole child. The teacher's task is to draw out students' nascent capacities. Mitchell and others, 2008, page 3. The outcome of schooling, should be a healthy, well-rounded human being who is filled with a sense of purpose and the value of life, able to sense what is right in a given situation, with the power of resolution to carry it out, guided by regard for the needs and rights of others, able to think creatively and independently, and well-equipped with a full range of practical, social, and cognitive skills. Economic success is not excluded in the Waldorf understanding of desired outcomes. According to the article just cited, the best way to prepare students for both economic and political life is to develop in them capacities of judgment and discretion. Mitchell and others, 2008, page 4. See also Lubin, 2006. A person thus prepared will assuredly contribute positively to the civic, economic, cultural, and social life of her times. We find various formulations of the Waldorf broad goal in the mission statements and outreach materials of different Waldorf schools and on the OSNA website, and in many publications in the field of Waldorf pedagogy as well as in works by Rudolf Steiner. Including in many formulations is the outcome of the free human being. For example, the goal of education is to develop free human beings who are able of themselves to impart purpose and direction to their lives. The need for imagination, a sense of truth, and a feeling of responsibility. These three forces are the very nerve of education. The mission statements of the three schools in the case studies have these variations. Whittington Waldorf School is dedicated to nurturing young human beings who will be capable of contributing fully to the tasks of life with courage, compassion, and conviction. We strive to foster wholeness and lifelong well-being through awakening an abiding love and interest in the world while cultivating the gifts and strengths that are unique to each individual student. We, at the Cheshire Waldorf School, strive to provide an educational environment that supports the physical, spiritual, social, and intellectual growth and development of our students. Our goal is to awaken and foster in our students a sense of wonder, creative and inquiring minds, a well-founded belief in their capacities, strength of character, will, and intellect, compassion for all, and interest in life. At Seaside Waldorf School, we dedicate ourselves to teaching from our knowledge of child development based on Rudolf Steiner's anthroposophy, so that we may help to inspire these high qualities in each of our students. A creative and curious mind, a warm heart and strong sense of morality, a love for meaningful work, a deep commitment to the tending of all living things, a sense of joy for the evolving human spirit. When Waldorf educators talk about educating children for freedom, they are referring to the individual, for freedom is always and only an attribute of an individual. Someone can be said to be free to the extent that he or she can think, speak, and act without the constraints of fear, ignorance, prejudice, including preconceptions, and emotional and psychological barriers to free-flowing creativity. Freedom requires independent thinking, self-confidence, self-knowledge, access to one's own skills, talents, and creative resources, and the ability to be self-directed. Freedom from ignorance means knowing about the triumphs and tragedies of our common human past, appreciating the extent to which we are dependent on each other, and understanding the political, social, economic, and cultural conditions and processes of our times. The cultivation in Waldorf classrooms of social responsibility, altruistic feelings, and the taking of interest in and serving others intends to serve the long-term goal of freeing the individual from the constraints of egotism with its adverse social effects. Most parents would endorse this vision of the proper outcome of education, we think, an outcome that would probably ensure the earning of a decent living in today's economy. And a growing number of education scholars are urging reconsideration of the narrow economic goals of schooling that influence public policy. For instance, Ravitch 2010, Senecal 2010. As Senecal says, the first step in education reform is to combat the excessive careerism and pragmatism in educational discussion, to remind ourselves that schools are here not only to serve immediate practical purposes, but to teach things that last a lifetime. Page 14. When referring to the Waldorf understanding of the goal of education, to inspire lifelong learning and full unfolding of the individual potential of every child, we will use the shorthand term life goal. While this goal is idealistic and broad, it has potency and practicality, as it is demonstrated by the multiple and diverse ways it shaped the daily classroom instruction that we document in Part 2, and that we know from observing dozens of Waldorf teachers in action over years of professional involvement with these schools. The stages of child development in Waldorf pedagogy. According to Waldorf educators, Waldorf methods are based not on a theory, but on a set of observation and insights regarding the growth and development of children's capacities. For example, the very strong and natural imitative capacity of very young children, and the liveliness of imagination in children aged 7 through 12 or 13. Anyone who observes children with care and discernment can identify such characteristics and faculties and recognize them as salient indicators of educability. These characteristics are observable and objective, Waldorf educators maintain, whether or not one subscribes to pedagogy based on these observations. Waldorf literature has many descriptions of the stages of child development. It often describes them as an overlapping sequence of the development of thinking, feeling, and willing. As capabilities or functions, these correspond roughly to the three learning domains identified in scholarly parlance as cognitive, affective, and psychomotor. Very young children learn by doing. In this stage, approximately up to age 7, teachers can best support learning by guiding the forces of willing that are naturally active. In Waldorf preschools and kindergartens, teachers provide a daily rhythm of free play and guided activities that include games, singing, stories, and practical tasks like preparing snacks or tending garden. Waldorf early childhood teachers make assessments of the kinds of learning and skills that would fall within the psychomotor and social domains of development. They observe and evaluate whether and how well each child can skip, stand in place, stand on one foot, hold a crayon with the correct grip, tie shoes, imitate teacher's gestures, help with and carry to completion classroom tasks, engage in purposeful work, amicably take turns, resolve minor conflicts with peers, and so forth. Mitchell and others, 2008, page 8. They also specify objectives that might be considered by non-Waldorf educators to fall within the cognitive domain. For example, that the child is able to sit in a chair with hands on lap and listen to a story for 10 or 15 minutes, act out a story with other children, talk about recent events coherently, enunciate and speak clearly, concentrate on a teacher-directed activity for at least 10 minutes, follow a three-part directive. In all this, the teacher is concerned mainly with activating the child's will. The early development of strong will forces is considered essential for later cognitive learning. During the next stage of development, approximately from age 7 to 12 or 13, children learn mainly through feelings and using their imagination. Thus, Waldorf elementary level teachers instruct with stories and narratives aimed at engaging the imagination and use many strategies aimed at cultivating students' affective capacities like awe and wonder, sensitivity to others' viewpoints, interest in others and the world, curiosity, and a general enthusiasm for learning. It is important to note that in the Waldorf lexicon, imagination does not refer to fantasy. Its referent is the image-making capability, which is evoked or activated by a combination of feeling, willing, and thinking. The early development of the forces of imagination is understood as foundational for later creativity and intellectual abilities. In her seminal work on Waldorf pedagogy, familiar to most Waldorf teachers, Marjorie Spock explains that the thinking that emerges as a ripened power from the matrix of a healthy imagination is a warm and mobile thinking. It is the fruit of the living pictures with which the world has been brought into the child's consciousness. These pictures have awakened his whole enthusiasm for the world around him. Spock, 1978, pages 86 and 87. The Waldorf focus on awakening the feeling life converges with new theories about the importance of emotional intelligence. The work of Daniel Goleman, 1995, for example, argues that emotional intelligence is essential for optimal later cognitive progress. The teacher's task changes as students reach adolescence. Waldorf pedagogy recognizes that starting about age 14, eighth grade, but beginning to some extent earlier, students learn best through direct engagement of their powers of critical thinking. In Waldorf high schools, therefore, there is a different teacher for every subject, a subject specialist whose task is to challenge students' intellectual capacities, to stimulate their powers of discrimination and critical independent thinking. At this stage, the learning goals fall mainly within what non-Waldorf educators call the cognitive domain. We are sketching the main emphases here. The stages overlap throughout all grades, however, and the pedagogical approach shifts gradually. Teachers begin activating and assessing critical thinking skills in sixth grade in most Waldorf schools. Concern for expanding the powers of imagination continues through high school. The life goal, anthroposophy, and classroom teaching. Anthroposophy, the worldview that informs Waldorf pedagogy, is often defined as the wisdom of the human being in relation to the cosmos and the earth. It is a philosophy that addresses the basic questions of humanity and nature, as well as a cognitive path for individual development through taking responsibility for self and others. In simple terms, the human being comprises body, soul, and spirit. These terms refer to the manifold faculties capable of development in every individual. In their outreach materials, when Waldorf schools describe their approach as one that recognizes the spirit in each child, they are not referring to religion or mysticism. Waldorf education is emphatically non-sectarian and non-religious. It understands as spiritual those capacities in every individual whose development and exercise is not brain-bound or determined solely by heredity or environment. The task of the teacher is to support and encourage the free unfolding of these capacities. It's important to say that anthroposophy as a subject or content is not taught in Waldorf schools. And while Waldorf teachers may have varying degrees of familiarity with anthroposophical concepts, they do encounter in their training the proposition that each child is a spiritual being with an individual destiny. We discuss in Chapter 8 how this proposition informs the professional preparation of Waldorf class teachers. Waldorf teachers embrace the broad, long-term goal of education as expressed by their school's mission statements. It is this goal that attracts teachers to Waldorf teaching as a profession. To participate in furthering such a goal gives their work its dignity and purpose. No aspect of Waldorf teaching, especially goal setting and assessment, can be understood without reference to the life goal. It is fundamental, often implicit, but always the touchstone, inspiration, and guide of every trained Waldorf teacher. None of our findings reported in Part 2 are understandable without reference to the life goal. For example, to give a preview, it affected how one teacher construed, planned for, and assessed attainment of the goal of a mathematics block, that students will enjoy doing math, learn how math can be fun, will begin to appreciate its beauties and be able to apply it. Another example from our data is a small verse, one of many learned and recited by third graders, which was inspired by the life goal. There lives in me an image of all that I should be. Until I have become it, my heart is never free. The life goal accounted for what we documented as emphases on the development of capacities beyond rote content learning. Age-appropriate presentation and content, multisensory experiential classroom activities instead of textbook presentations, assessments in relation to individual potential as well as age and grade standards, and social skills and ethical questions. Waldorf elementary level fundamentals. The prescribed Waldorf methods for teaching grades 1 through 8 in OSNA member schools include an 8-year curriculum, a sequence of subjects and activities whose complexity and instructional methods are calibrated to meet the student at each age and grade. A class teacher who follows the same group of students, teaching core subjects called main lesson through 8 years, looping, and a method for presentation of main lesson contents that involves 3 steps over 3 days. The Waldorf Age Appropriate Elementary Level Curriculum. The recommended Waldorf elementary level curriculum derives from the many indications in Rudolf Steiner's writings and lectures on education, as well as over 90 years of accumulated experience of teachers following those indications. It is intended not as a rigid prescription, but a general guide for teaching each grade the core and special subjects. It is a model of spiral curriculum, with recurring subject matter at ever greater levels of complexity. Students re-experience and continually build on what they have learned before. Dewey, 1938 to 1997, pages 73 to 88. Wiggins, 1998, pages 229 to 230. Class teachers, explained below, teach main lesson, core subjects, during the first 2 hours of the day in blocks from 2 to 4 weeks long. Given 10 to 12 possible blocks in the school calendar, teachers typically schedule main lesson subjects to recur 2 or 3 times over the course of the academic year, depending on the age of the students and the number of topics in the curriculum that year. The sequence of subjects is designed to meet the interest and learning capabilities of the child at each age. The principle of age appropriateness governs both content and manner of presentation. Thus, the handwork teacher teaches first graders knitting because young children learn through doing and because knitting supports the development of sequential thinking, counting, concentration, and small motor skills, all foundational for later learning. Thus, the history blocks in the early grades focus on ancient myths and science blocks on nature stories, in both cases to meet and engage the imagination of the young child. Teachers teach writing in the early grades before reading because young children engage readily in will activity, again, learning best through doing, and are then motivated to read what they have written. The Waldorf curriculum is designed to provide students with a knowledge base of worthwhile core content for lifelong learning. The English language arts sequence focuses on reading, writing, and speaking skills, and familiarity with and appreciation of the classics of literature, poetry, and drama. The mathematics sequence emphasizes basic skills and applications at all levels. History focuses on different cultures, turning points, interpretive perspectives, and important figures. Science emphasizes comprehension of central concepts, applications, and ethical issues, and the history of scientific discovery. The history sequence illustrates the age-appropriate principle. In the first 2 grades, children work with fairy tales, fable legends, and the myths of indigenous people, all potent sources for imaginative engagement. In 3rd grade, they have the first of several ancient history blocks and also Old Testament stories. In subsequent grades, they study the myths, culture, and history of ancient India, Persia, Egypt, Greece, and Rome. By the end of 8th grade, they have covered medieval, Renaissance, and modern and American history. The curriculum includes music, singing, recorder playing, orchestra, and art, painting, drawing, and sculpture, both woven into core subject lessons and as separate subjects. Drama, at least one play per class year, at least one foreign language starting in the 1st grade, crafts, handwork, woodwork, and other practical activities, and physical education in all grades with competitive sports in the upper grades. All grades have eurythmy once or twice a week. Eurythmy is an art of movement wherein the tones and feelings in music and speech are expressed and made visible through gestures. Lower and middle grades have form drawing, the freehand drawing of non-representational forms. Form drawing was added to the Waldorf curriculum by Rudolf Steiner to promote what we now call neuroplasticity. It consists of dynamic line drawings that are introduced in the simplest forms in 1st grade, straight and curved lines, with a gradual increase in complexity to the most intricate Celtic braids and crosses in 4th and 5th grades. Practicing these forms helps students with eye-hand, encourages fluidity, and strengthens dexterity. It is an excellent practice for writing, because students must attend to the relationship among the parts of the drawing as well as the relation between the drawing and the page as a whole. Form drawing develops a sense for composition, symmetry, polarity, balance, transformation of form, and mirror imaging. It also builds a foundation for understanding geometry. The circle, square, triangle, and other forms are drawn freehand up through 5th grade. This helps students to develop spatial awareness before the laws of geometry are taught. Froelich and Niederhauser, 1984. All grades take field trips, have reading lists both in summer and during the year, and participate in regular school assemblies by presenting some current aspect of their work. Waldorf schools celebrate festivals from all tradition with poems, plays, stories, festive meals, and other activities. Waldorf curriculum and pedagogical traditions are flexible. A college of teachers governs the pedagogy in every Waldorf school and has the authority to approve changes and innovations to enable the school to meet the needs of its students and families. In a full 8th-grade school, it is typically composed of 12 to 15 full and part-time teachers. It carries or delegates to committees responsibility for all matters of pedagogy, curriculum, standards and accreditation compliance, teacher mentoring, and teacher evaluations. Most schools include community service projects in the curriculum. Some schools have changed the foreign languages offered to reflect the ethnicities of the student body or surrounding community. Some have increased time allotted to physical education and competitive sports popular in neighboring schools. Most schools have incorporated environmental issues into science, geography, and other subjects. The curriculum is a guideline and is meant to be appropriate to the times and to the place as well as to the age of the children. Responding to concerns for accountability, what students are actually learning, many Waldorf schools have developed or are in the process of developing written curriculum standards comparable in level of detail to those used in other educational contexts, specifying exactly what students should know and be able to do at the end of each year. The class teacher. In Waldorf elementary schools, the main teachers are class teachers. They begin with a group of first graders and continue as their main teacher through the end of 8th grade. The 8th grade teacher teaches the main lesson subjects and often other subjects as well. He forms a close bond with the students and their families. The reason for the class teacher can be found in the developmental insights that inform the pedagogy, according to which younger children thrive in the security of a close relationship with an adult who knows them well. They come to respect and trust that teacher and want to respond with their best. While capable of purely intellectual work or abstract reasoning, children in these years relate to the world most readily with their imagination and their feelings. Therefore, the best foundation for learning and for ensuring curiosity and motivation is a student-teacher relationship built on mutual feelings of love, trust, and respect. The effectiveness of class teachers depends on the character, education, motivation, knowledge, and skills of those individuals. A Waldorf class teacher becomes an important role model for the students. She needs to be seen by them as capable of mastering the many areas of knowledge in the curriculum with enthusiasm, imagination, and skill. The teaching rhythms. Class teachers in Waldorf elementary schools follow a certain routine for teaching main lessons over the course of the first 2 hours of the day. The day begins with a series of activities which may be related to the block topic. Short verses, movement, recitation of longer poems, singing, recorder playing, and games for the practice of grammar or math, the latter called mental math. Teachers plan this routine with diverse learning goals in mind and evaluate students as they engage in these activities for the development of diverse capabilities. The higher the grade, the shorter time devoted to these activities prior to beginning main lesson itself. The number and content of activities vary with the grade, the season, the block topic, and the teacher's assessment of what skills need to be reinforced. Teachers often refer to this segment of teaching as circle, although the activities actually take place in a circle only in the younger grades, and then not always. We use this term throughout to refer to the opening segment of classroom activity. Immediately following circle, teachers begin teaching the main lesson subject material. They follow a three-part rhythm each day. 1. They lead students in a detailed class recall and review of the previous day's lesson. 2. They present new material as a narration or story, or in the case of science blocks, with an experiment or project. 3. They have students work on a writing assignment related to a previous lesson, usually along with subject-related artistic work. These assignments become part of the student-created main lesson books for each block. Teachers also work with a three-day rhythm in which 1. New material is learned one day, 2. Recalled the second day, and 3, reinforced or elaborated the third day with writing or illustrations. The importance of giving children time to absorb and reflect on material, to sleep on it, is one of the basic principles of Waldorf pedagogy, with an expected outcome of better learning and retention. All the teachers in our study planned and delivered main lesson instruction according to these rhythms, with exceptions for field trips, visitors' presentations, school assemblies, and festival celebrations. In summary, the implementation of age-appropriate curriculum, the guidance of the same class teacher for main lesson subjects throughout 8 years, the rhythm of starting each day with movement and lively circle activities, and the presentation of material in a three-part rhythm are common features of Waldorf elementary level classrooms. They provide the structure and impetus for lesson planning, teaching, and making assessments.